Three, two, one. Few Good Men podcast, episode one. I'm here with Jameson Roberts. What's up, Jameson?
Hey, what's up with you, man?
Nothing. Just excited to finally get this going, finally do this. This has been a long time in the making, a long time of us talking about it and developing it, but just finally to do it now is pretty awesome.
Yeah, dude. I mean, episode one, I think it's been like 6 months since we started talking about this, and now we're finally taking action on it.
So yeah, that's awesome, man. And everyone listening now doesn't even know really what we're doing until we get into it.
Yeah.
But it's been really cool to kind of talk this out, develop this with you, and from where it started. I know we'll go into it a little bit, but to just from where it started, how God was working in our lives to bring us together and then put it on your heart, and which then got brought to me, and then for me to pray on and develop it, and just to be here is really, really cool.
Yeah. And I think it's especially cool because not only is this hopefully going to help who knows how many guys, at least one, mm-hmm. but hopefully hundreds and hundreds of guys. But more importantly, this is going to help us grow because we're going to be learning a lot together, but from a lot of good men.
Yeah, definitely. And we talked about that. It's really about just as much as it's about us sharing and spreading. It's for us too, about us growing and becoming better men, becoming better husbands and leaders of our family. So before we go too far, let me explain what we're doing here. So You Good Men was created in order for us to take a search onto true masculinity and figure out what it means to be a good man in today's world. We're going to do this by not only exploring the lives of men past and present, but also by diving into books, diving into studies, bringing on guests that we think are a good representation of true masculinity in today's world. And that could be anything from police officers, firemen, military, doctors, lawyers, teachers, coaches, people that have not only impacted us in our lives, but that we have seen impact people across the world, across the country. And Jameson, what do you have to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, it's kind of, at first, it's when we were first talking about it, it's a lot to think about because it is a big leap starting something like this. But on the other side of that same coin, I think that in today's world, men are being fed a bunch of lies, and we'll go a little more into that, but the world is telling us what masculinity should look like, but there's actual truth and realities behind true masculinity that the world isn't telling us. And in fact, the world is lying to us about what men should be and what it truly means to be a good man. And I think there's no better way to learn it than people that are living in different aspects of life, you know, whether you're a coach, a lawyer, 9-to-5 corporate job, or even like a third shift worker, showing up as a man shows up differently in all those occupations. And so, I think it's important that we have all those different guests, and I'm looking forward to diving in with just the different insights that we're going to get. And one thing I do want to add is as we go into this podcast, the title Few Good Men isn't a title based on me and Jacob. The goal is to gain as much information and knowledge from other people that are living qualities and attributes of good men so we can learn how to be good men, because me and Jake we're young and we're still on this journey. And part of the goal of this podcast is for us to learn and for those listening to learn alongside us. So that's what I got
totally. And I think something that you said at the start is really something that I had to come to terms with as I prayed about this. And it's that if we impact one person or we impact a million people, it is 100% worth it. So if we get one view every single week for the next however so long, or we get a million views in 10 hours, it's all for the kingdom. It's all meant to happen. It's all meant to be done. And I think going in it with that mindset, we're only going to learn and we're only going to grow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, especially in today's world, a lot of men are searching and a lot of men don't have mentors. I mean, I think one of the biggest things facing society is just a fatherless home. You know, mm-hmm. either you have a home that the father's absent or not there for who knows what reason, or the father is there, but he's doesn't show up. He doesn't take the mantle of responsibility. He just plays the passive role. And so hopefully this is a good resource for all age groups of what it means to be a man, and maybe a mentoring resource for those out there searching. So,
yeah, I love that. Yeah. I think if we can mentor one person, at least hearing from someone who mentors us, I think that is job well done for sure.
Yeah.
Let me start by introducing my wonderfully magnificent co-host on the other side. So first and foremost, Jameson Roberts is a Christian, a very strong Christian in my experience. He's been incredibly inspiring to me since we've met, and not only in how he walks with Christ, but how he spreads it and how he's always just a positive light of the gospel. I think if I could describe Jameson through one thing, it would be not that he goes around Bible thumping and just dropping verses to everyone, but you can tell just by how he lives his life and how he interacts with people that he is marked by the body of Christ. And for, I think that is the biggest compliment I can give someone, that every time I come across Jameson, he is spreading love, he is spreading grace, and he is spreading kindness. And those are just qualities of a true man. And so often now we see men and we think that these cool guys are these guys that are these jack dudes. And there's no problem with being jacked. I think Jameson's pretty jacked too, but it's more than just that. It's about how he, when he walks into a room, he makes that room better. And I think that is the best way to describe Jameson. But just his credentials a little bit, he's a Marine veteran. Jameson, thank you for your service, first and foremost. Just an absolutely incredible guy who has served our country well. He's also a fitness coach. He coached me at CrossFit. That's how we met. We'll go into that a little bit deeper, but guy knows his stuff. Guy is, once I said again, absolutely jacked. Has put me through the ringer of some workouts, has really, really made me push myself, and that's really, really cool. And then right now, he's a fireman. He is wrapping up his classes at the Fire Academy, going to be jumping on the truck here soon. So I'm excited that we kind of get to enter that journey together, not only as friends, but with this podcast. And as he learns things through his team and he learns things through serving the community and the public, that we get to be there and see that as well. And then most importantly, Jameson is a new husband in the last, what, 7 months now, 8 months?
Yeah, it's about 6 or 7 months.
Okay, so yeah, about 6, 7 months. And his better half, Taryn, she is just as wonderful as he is, and is a true testament to when you're a good man, you'll find a good woman, and God will kind of line you up. And so we are both learning how to be husbands at a rapid pace. And so it's really cool to be able to go through that together as well.
Yeah. And for those of you listening, I Venmo'd Jake $50 before we started to say that. So yeah. And so Jake, who started the podcast off, or known as Jacob, long history for him, and me and him especially, but former Division I athlete, is that right? Mm-hmm. Baseball?
Yep.
Sorry, I'm gonna screw your intro up, but
no, please.
He is a lawyer, practicing law, and you're down in South Carolina, right?
Yep, Sumter, South Carolina, middle of the state.
Yeah. So if you ever need a lawyer, I know a guy. And he's actually a new author. I believe you're about to release your first book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Mentally Tough Christians, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so, and we'll talk a little more about that towards the end of the podcast, but yeah, so, and we'll talk more about what inspired him to write that. He is a new author and a brand new husband as of a couple of weeks, fresh out of the honeymoon and ready to get after it. But Jake, I mean, if I were to say one word about Jake, I would use the word ambitious. And I mean, it's hard to sum one person up into one word, but I would say ambitious. Ever since I've known Jake, he's always been striving to be better, not just physically and mentally, but just being a better guy. And when Jake enters a room, and this is a testament to your family as well, it's like you feel at home with him. It's like you're his brother and you're part of the family. You don't really have to work hard to know what to say. I know, especially for me, getting out of the Marine Corps and searching for new groups of friends and stuff like that, me and Jake, it was easy just to talk to him. And that's a rare, I would say that's a very rare trait. But I would say it's a good example and good trait of leadership. Jake recently married, and he's starting his journey in the married life as well as I am. And I think what makes this podcast unique is we are both kind of in that beginning stage of career, marriage, and just learning of what it means to be a good man, because, you know, the age that we are really defines who you're going to be for the rest of your life. And so, Jake Dippold.
Hey, and I also Venmo Jameson. So we're even on that $50 to make him say good things about me. Let's go into a little bit of how we met. I think we kind of touched on a little bit, but we met through probably, I'd say, CrossFit, right? Is the easiest simple way to say it.
Yeah, I would say, CrossFit would probably be the first encounter that we had together. I know I was a brand new coach at College Hill CrossFit in Greensboro, North Carolina, and I was fresh out of the military, so I was kind of learning the balance between using the skills I learned from the Marine Corps and not using some things I learned from the Marine Corps, learning how to be empathetic and sympathetic and that towards members and things like that. So I was kind of on a weird journey, and it was kind of figuring out where I fit in. So that's when I met you, was kind of at a really critical point in my journey of getting out of the Marine Corps. But let me ask you, why did you choose CrossFit, number one?
Yeah, so
what interested you about it?
I talk about it a lot in my book, but it was really just how hard it was. I had just come off being a Division I athlete, which is 60 plus hours a week most weeks, and then to then only have law school, and I say that law school is very hard, especially in the beginning, but to not have that physical aspect of being challenged and being disciplined and being pushed, especially, I really struggled just going to a gym and pushing myself, which I think is a really hard thing for everyone. But then you go to a CrossFit gym and everyone's pushing everyone, no matter if you're scaling it down to jumping pull-ups or you're ripping out 50 butterfly pull-ups in 10 seconds. It's something about being pushed and having a team and having teammates there in the CrossFit world. I think the CrossFit world is all about community, and that's the big thing that CrossFit gyms push, is you not only become incredibly fit, but you find a new family. You find a fitness family that I think you can really contribute to as well.
Yeah, I would say a lot of my reasons, I guess, for sticking with CrossFit is that reason right there, that community. I mean, I started, I think it was sixth or seventh grade. It's a funny story. I was chubby. I was a little chunky kid, and I was striving to be on the soccer team at the school I went to. And the soccer coach at the time, this was basketball season. I was sitting on a bleacher, and he was sitting behind me. And he just randomly out of nowhere just starts talking to me and was like, "Do you work out?" And I was like, "Not really." And he was like, "Yeah, I could tell." And then that was my first encounter. And he's like, "Well, how about you you start doing CrossFit with me? We can meet behind the school and just start working out." And I was like, "All right, yeah, let's do it." And the first day I show up, and I purposely left my gym clothes at home so I didn't have to do it. And he was one of those hard charger dudes that was like, "Nope, we're still doing it." And so at the time, our school made us wear collared shirts and blue jeans or khakis. And so I did like burpee broad jumps and lunges and like colored shirt and pants. Yeah, that kind of started my journey and eventually led me to coach at College Hill CrossFit. Yeah, CrossFit, especially during the Marine Corps and after the Marine Corps, gave me that sense of community that that I was longing for. And I think is important for masculinity as well, which we can go more into. But
touching on what you just said about that as well is, I think it's really important for men especially to do hard things. And I think it's really easy in our adult lives to not do hard things, to just avoid stressing our bodies, to avoid stressing ourselves mentally, because it's the easy road. And it might feel comfortable and simple in that moment, but where you really kind of see what you're made of and where you really prep yourself for those hard times where inevitably someone in your life gets cancer, or inevitably someone, you become sick, or something happens at work, you get fired, or something else happens. It's not equivalent to doing a really hard workout, but being in situations where you've been stressed and being in situations where you've pushed yourself and you see how you react mentally and physically, it just sets you up to take on that situation in the most positive way you can.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is a perfect point, especially for men, not just for men, but especially for men, making yourself or putting yourself into a stressful situation. And, regardless of what you think might come, the fear that might be in your head, putting yourself in a hard situation, helps you to learn how to cope. You know, when stuff is hitting the fan and the pressure is on you to make a decision or to show up, you don't want to wait until the moment that happens. You want to train that before. And I think CrossFit has a beautiful job or a beautiful way of doing that, because the workouts, they suck. They're hard. Mm-hmm. And I've seen so many people in my journey coaching CrossFit that have had so many things going on in their life, and you wouldn't even know it. You know, they may be a husband that had a miscarriage with their wife, and, you know, they're wearing that on their shoulders, but they're still showing up. And, I really think it's something that it can't be taught. It has to be caught. And you really have to, I don't know, just embrace it and feel it, and then you'll learn how to do it. And CrossFit does that.
Yeah, and you said something there that I think is super important to re-harp on, is that you don't want the first time something really stressful happens in your life to be that really hard time with your wife or that really hard time with your family, because you do not want to be learning on the fly in situations like that. And so anything you can do to prepare yourself mentally for that, I think is super, super important. And CrossFit and or just working out hard in general and pushing yourself. And pushing yourself might be just getting up every morning and going for a walk. You know, like, it doesn't mean you have to do this crazy, crazy workout. It just means getting into a routine, disciplining yourself, and following that routine so you can. It's almost about trusting yourself as a man, as weird as that sounds. Like, it's a lot easier to trust yourself when you're disciplined enough to follow what you tell yourself you're going to do.
Yeah. And there is a misconception with masculinity, and we'll talk more about it. I think a lot of times we think, oh, you know, you've got to be shredded or lift this much weight or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you don't necessarily have to do CrossFit. You don't have to do some crazy amount of deadlift or any crazy workout regimen. Just show up. Show up for yourself, make yourself physically strong, which will in turn make you mentally strong. So that way you can be there for people that need you. Mm-hmm.
And I think that leads right into the perfect transition as to why we want to do this, why we want to do this podcast, why it was first put on your heart to then share with me as to what could this podcast mean to men in 2024. What could this do for not only Christian men, but for all men that that want to be the best that they can possibly be. It's sad, but in 2024, the reality of true masculinity is that it's becoming almost like a taboo topic to talk about. It's this, oh, you want to be this tough guy. You want to be this man and put down women and men are better than women and all that. And that's not what it is at all. The realities of what it means to be a true masculine man and to what masculinity means in today's world, it's just what it means to be a good man. And I know that sounds simple and kind of dumbed down, but that's all it is. How do you be a good man in today's world? And I think that's what that's all about. We just wanted to explore that and bring in people that we thought did that well and ask them questions and just get wisdom kind of shared with us and through that, share it with all of you guys.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if God really put it on my heart, really the end of last year, especially as I was approaching my wedding day, it's kind of weird. And I think a lot of guys feel this. It's just, you kind of feel, I don't think I was nervous, but I really felt pressure because I was like, well, you know, my wife is being joined to me and I'm being joined to her. And I'm the one that has to answer for this relationship. And I'm the one that's supposed to be leading this relationship. And so it was kind of like, you know, it'd be awesome to have like a handbook of, hey, this is what you need to be doing. But in reality, it's not that way. And I feel like a lot of men will resort to the lies that society tells us, because they're easy to believe. They're very deceptive because they tell you that you're going to be successful if you do this, or if you have X amount of money, or if you lift this much weight, or if you are domineering over the people in your life. But in reality, masculinity is different, and true masculinity is different. And one of the books I read that really kind of ignited this spark in me was written by John Lovell, and it was called Warrior Poet. And he does a beautiful job of describing what true masculinity is. And he uses the example of warrior poet, and in scriptures, the example of lion and a lamb. Because being a man isn't just being a hard charger all the time. I gotta be no excuses, no emotions, all that nonsense, which, sad to say, that's what we're taught in the military, was don't have any emotions, don't have any empathy or sympathy towards others. But in reality, men know we aren't as emotional as women are, but we should express emotion. And so part of the reason why we want to start this podcast is to shine the light on the fact that there is another side to masculinity that needs to happen. Society tells us that, you know, to be a man, you need to be more like a woman. And that's not necessarily true. That's not true at all. I would say part of being a man is having emotional traits, but not letting your emotions control you. But also, you know, being strong enough to show up when people depend on you. But, you know, it's okay to be scared. It's okay to be sad. You know, you don't need to hide those things. But what you do in spite of those things, I think really is what makes you a good man.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that. I think oftentimes in today's world, they want to push the narrative that being a true man is actually taking this back seat and not leading, which we were definitely called to be the servants to our wives and to our families. But in order to serve best, you need to lead, and you need to know how to lead, and you need to know who is leading you. And to us, that's God. And God leads our hearts. He leads our minds and our decision-making. And then that also comes from surrounding yourself with really good men and having people that you can ask questions to, having people that you can learn from. I'm in a life group, small group at my church, and I'm the youngest guy by 55 years, I think. I think the average age in that group is about 72 years old. But I go there, and I'll make some comments every so often, but most of it is just me shutting my mouth and listening to these guys who have had exponential years more than me to learn from other people. And so I think that's what it comes down to. You need to know when it's your turn to talk and when it's your turn to lead, but you also need to know when it's your turn to zip your lips and listen to the people that have had the opportunity and way more years to learn from their mistakes so you don't make the same mistakes. And I think that's kind of what we're doing here. We're giving people the opportunity to hear from men that they might not have any strong men in their life or know any strong men. And we're bringing in some people that we truly believe are the great representation of what it means to be a strong man in today's world.
Yeah. And I think society tells us that, you know, men and women, number one, they're telling us, you know, you can be whatever you want to be, which that's lie number one. You know, if you're a guy, you're a guy. And God created men differently than he created women. And mm-hmm. there are traits that, you know, we can possess. But men innately have traits that are just ingrained in them, different than those that women have ingrained in them. You know, as men, you know, we are just hardwired to be protectors, providers, hunters, chasers. You know, we're out getting our hands dirty. Mm-hmm. And women have traits that men don't have easily. Women intuitionally are far ahead at that than men. You know, mm-hmm. women have the ability to feel and think and connect a lot better than men do. And I will say, you know, as I was kind of approaching our wedding day, especially after I got out of the Marine Corps, that was a really hard struggle, was learning, you know, how to be empathetic towards my wife, to be, how to show up and just listen. Because mm-hmm. as men, you know, we're just problem solvers, and she's going to bring a problem mm-hmm. and she's really just venting. She doesn't want the problem to be solved. And my initial thought is like, oh, I got to solve this problem. This is mm-hmm. what I got to do. But no, you have to learn, like you said, just to really sit down and listen sometimes. And yes, there's time to step up and lead and be bold, but there's also time to sit back and listen and be slow to speak and slower, which isn't being taught in our society today. But yeah.
Yeah, during my premarital counseling sessions with our pastor who married us, that's something that we brought up as well. I am not very good at being empathetic, and I know that, and I'm really praying about that and working on it. And our pastor told us, when Jana Marie brings you something, when my wife brings me something, he said, you need to ask her, do you want a solution to this problem, or do you want me to just listen? And that has helped a ton, because in my mind, she's telling me this because she wants an answer. So I'm immediately, and I'm not even listening to the second half of it, because by the time she gets halfway in, I'm trying to develop a solution instead of just being there to listen. And I think that's something that I've grown with a lot in the past 3-4 months, and still have a ton of room for growth. But you're right. When there's a time for us as men to act and make decisions, but there's also a time for us to just be there and listen.
Yeah, and you just reminded me, and this is kind of a unrelated note, and we could go down a rabbit trail on another podcast, but we were having dinner with some friends, and the husband, he said a quote that it's probably going to forever stick with me. He said, the best thing that a man can do for his sons is to love his wife well. Mm. And I didn't realize like how profound that was when I first heard it, but you know, on the ride home and then a couple of days afterwards, kept thinking about it and how true that is, you know, because love your well, you're going to have to adopt traits that aren't necessarily natural for you to do. And especially in the Bible, talks about how a man or how a husband should love his wife. He should cherish her. He should honor her. Those things aren't necessarily masculine traits. You know, we don't think about cherishing or listening to her in an understanding way. As men, we think about getting after it and doing it and problem solving. And so you kind of have to cultivate those traits that are not necessarily natural to you in order to get through to your wife. And she has to do he has to, as it says in scriptures, honor the husband. And so, you know, these traits that aren't normal for each other to adapt, but when we do it, it creates this perfect circle of love and harmony as scriptures design marriage to be, or as God designed marriage to be. But
yeah, and yeah. I think that is incredibly spot on to kind of what we want to talk about here. And that's just how do we lead the next generation of men? How do we become stronger as a group of men inside each so that the next group has a really great group of men to learn from? I think about my grandparents my grandparents are both very blue collar and men at that time were very, very different. And there was almost that part of time in the history was pushing a almost too much the other way idea of masculinity, and to where we're trying to find that happy medium of still being able to share in your emotion and have emotions and not just remove them totally, but also then how do we be strong for our families? How do we be strong for our wife and our kids? And I think we'll definitely go into that even more. Masculinity for me, and I kind of hold masculinity and mental toughness in the same retrospect in terms of, I think all the parts of my book apply not only to mental toughness, but also then to being a man and being a leader in our everyday lives. I became really interested in the ideas of mental toughness my junior and senior year of college. We as pitchers had meetings where we called them mental toughness meetings, and we would get into a room in a big circle and we talk about how do we become better pitchers, not only physically but mentally. What things can we do to make pitching easier and more simple? And all those things I learned and all those qualities that I learned, I realized translate perfectly to how we become better men. And that's what my book is all about. My book goes into all the qualities I took to try to be the best pitcher I could be and throw this little white ball as well as I could. And every single one of them translated into being, how do I be a good man every day? And it goes into stuff like discipline, like we talked about. It goes into routine. It goes into having a good system and the group of people around you. And we'll go into my book a little bit further another time, but I think you have to try to be a good man. You have to take steps to become a better man. It doesn't just happen naturally. And I think that's pretty important to kind of expand on as well.
Yeah. I mean, and especially mental toughness, I think men are, again, we're wired differently. And, you know, when something hard happens or, you know, a difficult situation, we have a different ability of compartmentalizing things. You know, we have kind of, we think in boxes. Mm-hmm. Well, here's my family box. Here's my, you know, work box. Here's my whatever else box. And so when something happens, we can easily place one thing to the side and think about the thing at hand. Mm-hmm. And whereas I think women naturally have the ability to kind of connect all those. And so they can kind of relate one instance to the other, which is a beautiful ability. And I think it's kind of interesting when you merge the two together. But when it comes to mental toughness and pitching and things like that, part of being a man is, like you said, discipline and things like that, which we'll go into, but it's showing up. It's being there when people need you. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be in the perfect state of mind or, you know, whatever. Part of it is just showing up. And I think mental toughness develops that. The idea of, you know, situations aren't going to be perfect, but how am I going to adapt to it in the moment?
Yeah, my wife always talks about how men have one box, and men pretty much can put their entire life into one box. And then women have a bazillion boxes. They have a box for each thing they have going on in their life. And that's why we handle conflict so much differently, and why men are able to move past conflict so much faster, because it's in the one box. We're just living in this one box, but if Jana Marie, my wife, is struggling with something, that box is going to overtake her other boxes. And that's been really cool for me to learn about her, and that when we work through conflict and we work through things together, I need to remember that it takes a little bit more time for her to get over things, because if she's in this box, she can't be in that other box and she can't move past it. But for me, it's all in this one box. And so I better move past it or else I'm stuck in this box. So I've really learned a lot from her about how to, like I said, have more empathy, but also then just how do I lead her? How do I lead her to Jesus? And that's really what we're called to do. And learning from her in our long 2 weeks of marriage so far has been really, really cool. So Jameson, why don't you talk a little bit about our workouts together, when we started training together, how that kind of started to happen. And then you got to talk about the sauna sessions, talk about what those meant to us in developing this.
Yeah. People listen to this are probably like, sauna sessions? What sauna in the world am I listening to? And we started working out together at College Hill. I was working out and I was coaching, and then we would kind of catch up in between classes. That's kind of how the journey started. And then I had a career transition as I was going from CrossFit coaching into the fire department. And so my schedule only allowed me to go at certain times a day for fitness. And me and Jake started working out together early in the morning, sometimes late at night, like 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock, yeah. Which I prefer the morning, but yeah, either way, they were a grind. And yeah, we just started working out together, doing CrossFit and functional training. And that's how we would just, you know, stay fit and healthy, but we would also engage in conversation, which after workouts, we would go into a sauna that was at the gym and we would just sit there and just talk forever. And next thing you know, we're 20 minutes into a sauna session. Let's get out of here. Let's get stinking hot in here.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we kept talking, and, you know, me and Jake have a lot of shared ideals and shared philosophy and things like that. And somehow or another, we ended up, I think the idea got planted into my head and I brought it to Jake, because Jake has experience in the podcasting world as well as writing and things like that. And so we're like, it's better just to go ahead and start than just sit here and talk about it. And eventually it led to this. And Jake, in the meantime, was writing his book, getting ready for marriage, and I was getting married at the same time. So again, as we mentioned before, this is a very unique start, because it's both of us starting the same things at the same time, essentially.
I think that's spot on, exactly the kind of how it came into fruition. It came at a time where we had every excuse not to do it, and we definitely have used up those excuses for about 6 months now to wait and not make it happen. But like we said, yeah, going back, we think that this can really impact a lot of men for the kingdom. And if it impacts one man, if it impacts 100 men, we need to do it. And we need to just set aside the small amount of time that it takes to just get on here and chat and learn more ourselves, and through our learning, hopefully some other people can learn some things as well. And it was funny, yeah, we started talking about it and little things would come up, and we'd probably been scheduled to do this episode 4 times, maybe 5 times, and something came up. And I think it's an important time to mention that the devil is just as real as God is. And sometimes when things are coming up and things aren't going well, and it's really hard to get something started, there might be a reason for that. And if that reason is because the next person who can redefine modern masculinity hears one little clip of this 8 years from now, like we just don't know what God can do with this. And so just doing our part and putting it in God's hands, I think is exactly where we need to be.
Yeah. And yeah, I think that's a very important part. I remember there's a guy that talked to me a while back. It was while I was in the Marine Corps, but you know, his whole philosophy on life is, you know, if I can influence 10 people in my lifetime and those 10 people can influence 10 people, you know, it's just a network of just hopefully people influencing each other towards the right direction. And especially when we were thinking about this podcast, it's so easy to come up with excuses and think that, okay, well, you know, I haven't really been a good example of what a man should be, or I haven't really, I'm not all there. I don't have all the answers. And I think those are excuses and reasons that we fire in our head to not do something like this. But in reality, you just need to start. And I think that's what we're doing here. We don't have all the answers, and we know we don't have all the answers. And our goal is just to shine a light on the realities or the truth of the realities of what it means to be a man. And what better way to do that than, you know, interviewing first responders, you know, firefighters, police officers, military, lawyers, whatever career path, you name it. So we can kind of gain an insight of, okay, how does masculinity look in different avenues of life, you know? Because, you know, a first responder's schedule is totally different than, you know, a 9-to-5 worker. So I think it's important to not gain our insight on it and let us just, you know, regurgitate information that we've read. You know, I think it's important to really examine the lives of men that me and you have found, but also men that have lived an extraordinary life in the past, that we can dive into books, really read what their life was like, and kind of give us a direction and a compass of what it truly means to be a good man.
Yeah, and I think this is the perfect time for us to do this. I think a lot of what the mainstream culture is pushing, and a lot of what the mainstream ideas that we as a country are seeing is pushing our families to crumble. And it's this false messaging as to what it means to be a man and what it means to be a husband and a father that is hurting. It's hurting our families, and it's hurting our world in turn, because broken families, they have such an impact, not only to that generation, but generations to come. And it's these ideas about you need to be less strong, you need to be more financially stable, money's the only thing that matters, all this and all that. And it's all these false ideas that are hurting us and hurting our families and our world. And I think you can go deeper into it, but what society tells us and what the truth about masculinity is, as we see it and as the Bible has taught us to see it, are very, very different.
And I think you bring up a really good point. You know, our family, they are crumbling because of lack of men in the home, and the men that are in the home aren't showing up or aren't taking the mantle of responsibility. And it's so easy to believe the lies that society is telling us. You know, to be a good man or to be a man, you have to have a set retirement of this amount of dollars, or, you know, an established career path, or, you know, drive this type of car, or be domineering over those in your life. But there's a lot of lies that are easy to believe, and there's really no one shining light on the truth of the reality of being a man. And I think that's the goal of this podcast, is really to take the fight to the enemy. And the enemy is the lies that is having us believe. Because the truth is, you know, masculinity isn't designed by society. Society doesn't dictate, you know, what it means to be a man. And if that's where you determine your worth as a man, you're going to go down a downhill spiral and you're going to be lost. But the truth is, masculinity was designed by God. And God didn't tell us how to be men explicitly word for word in the Bible. He gave us an example, which was Jesus Christ. And I think the perfect example or perfect comparison is Jesus as a lion, but also as a lamb. And no, Jesus wasn't exclusively the only example or example for men. He was an example for everyone. But, you know, when in Ephesians it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, he didn't say that without giving us first an example of what that looks like. And society wants to and wants to hide that. There's times to be bold, and there's times to have righteous anger, which is far and few between. But there's also times to sit back and listen and be empathetic towards others and actually feel and have emotions. And and I think just to sum it all up, our goal with this podcast is to not, you know, act like we have all the answers, but to show you a representation of good men, but also, you know, to shine light on the things that society is suppressing.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest lies that society pushes is this idea of follow your heart. Just follow what your heart tells you.
Oh,
just do what your heart tells you. And that, I mean, that's how we end up with affairs. That's how we end up with divorce. That's how we end up with me spending my family's life savings on the Lamborghini that my heart told me to go for. And in Jeremiah 17:9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?"
Mm.
We can't understand our heart. Our heart is earthly. We can't understand what it's trying to tell us. And so then what do we do as men if we can't follow our heart? What can we follow? And I think that's exactly what this podcast is designed for. It's designed to help Jameson and I be better husbands, help us to be better men and hopefully better fathers one day. And learning from some really cool dudes that have already done it. And that's what it comes down to, is we're doing this for us. Why do we start this podcast? I think the question is, why do we start this podcast? And it's so Jameson and I can learn to be better men, and hopefully in turn, whoever listens can also grow as well. And you can expand on that a little bit if you want, but I think that's kind of the idea for both of us.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. You know, part of, or the reason why we're doing this podcast is to really share the journey. You know, me and you are on this journey learning, you know, what does it mean to be a good man? What does it mean to show up as a newly married man? What does it mean? What am I, you know, because there's no handbook that tells us, hey, this is what you should do. I think it's shining light on the journey that we're on. And those that listen in can take this journey with us and hopefully learn the same things that you and I are learning, or reveal things in their life that they need to change, as we get to see as well, things in our life that we get to change. Because the fact of the matter is, you know, our world is denying the designer of who we are. God designed us men, and our world is denying that God exists. And if we deny that, if we take that completely out of the equation of masculinity, then we don't have masculinity, we have because we are taking something that we innately know to be true out of the picture. If we know mm-hmm. it to be true and we deny it, you know, all we have is chaos. I think that's the goal here with this podcast, is to, like I said before, take the fight to the enemy. To not sit back and just watch families crumble, but to really help the next generation of guys under us and even guys ahead of us be able to see true masculinity on display, because the world's not going to show it to you. They're going to hide mm-hmm. it. And we want to kind of shine a light and bring those men that are just your everyday dads, everyday coaches, that live an exemplary life of masculinity. And that's the goal.
Yeah, and I want to tell a little story, just brief little story that I heard the other day from a guy who really inspires me, and which kind of further harps on what you just said. But this guy, his name is, let's just call him Brian, was at the gas station, and he had seen another guy who he works with all the time. Let's call him John. And John was an atheist. And my friend Brian is a devout Christian husband, father, and leader, and someone who really inspires me. And the guy, John, who is an atheist, was always making jokes to my friend and always saying, how could this ever being an intellectual God? Why doesn't he just come down and explain himself to me right now? Why doesn't he just explain himself to me right now? And Brian said, as his friend was saying that, a little cockroach came crawling out from underneath the gas pump. And my friend Brian said, why don't you explain yourself to that cockroach right now? Do you think that you are intellectually more capable than that cockroach? So then explain to that cockroach why you're so much more intellectually capable. And then Brian went home and thought about it more, and it came to him. How could he possibly explain himself to that cockroach? And the only way to do it would be to become a cockroach. And so we're the cockroaches. We are the cockroaches. What did God do? God became man, and God came down to earth to explain to us how to be better men. And I just think that is the coolest thing ever, that we have a God of everlasting capabilities, everlasting intellectuality, and he came to earth and became man to help us be better men. And I think that kind of just fully encapsulates what we're going for here.
That's profound. You know, and Christianity and Christian men get dogged on a lot by any other belief, really. A lot of people will say that Christianity is passive, or Christianity or Christian men are weak. But the message that Christ sent is completely contrary to what is being told to men today. Christ came down as a servant. You know, he lived a life as a servant. He had all the power in the absolute world, or in heaven and all throughout the universe, that he could have used, but chose not to. Even when people were beating him, killing him, and that's contrary to what we're being told as men in today's world. We're being told, you know, you got to stand up for this, and oh, you can't be weak, you can't be yada yada yada. But in reality, you know, part of being a true godly good man is being a servant and following God, not trying to take the throne yourself. And so part of being a man is submitting first to God. And then whenever he shows himself to you, you can be bold. Just like Moses, you know, Moses followed God. And in the moments where Israel was doubting and they were at the Red Sea and they're like, Moses, what are we going to do? We're about to be taken into the hands of our captors. And Moses was able to take a stand boldly because he first submitted to God. So yeah, and I think you just nail on the head, you know, Christ is the example of what it means to be a good man. And if you get your example of being a good man from what the world tells you, it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, and so that's pretty much what the listener can expect moving forward, and what we expect this to be. And you know what they say, tell God your plan and then your plan will change. But that's the idea moving forward. We're going to have topics and tough discussions that men have to face in today's world. And it might get a little wild. It might get a little crazy in here, but these discussions...
Definitely going to step on some toes and get discussions our toes stepped on.
Exactly. these discussions have to be had. And obviously it'll be respectful and it'll be supported by the word and supported by men in our lives. And we'll talk about a little bit about my background in sports and Jameson's background in service to his country and as a public servant now. And we'll also interview modern heroes, guys that we think are heroes to the world, but also not only heroes in their job or their sport, but heroes in how they live as a man. And then we'll also talk to some everyday dads, guys that you won't know the name of, guys that you would have never heard of, who are absolutely incredible and have really inspired Jameson and I on an everyday, more minute level. And men that we think have some really important things that can help other men and people grow in every single day. And then we're also in the beginning going to talk about my book a little bit and how that relates to setting a foundation to being a good man. I think that was really the idea behind writing my book is how do we create tools and how do we be disciplined and motivate ourselves. And the difference between motivation and discipline is that motivation is gonna go away. Motivation is fleeting, but discipline is forever, and true discipline is what's going to create freedom. And I think that kind of is where we're moving forward. These next episodes, we're going to try to rip them out as quick as we can. This was so much fun, so awesome to just talk about being a strong man and talk about Jesus with Jameson. And I'm just really excited to see where this goes. I feel God in this room. I feel him in this moment. And I'm just really excited to see who can listen to this and grow from this.
Yeah. And everything you said, I mean, all the people that we're going to have on this podcast, all the different subjects, books, things that we're going to talk about, hopefully can be broad and general and deep as well, mm-hmm. and impact at least one person. And if we impact at least one guy, then we've done everything that we set out to do. And I know God is going to provide where he deems that, you know, that's what he's going to provide. And we're just here for the journey. And I'm excited to see how the podcast progresses, mm-hmm. But also just to see the things that we're going to learn and just the things to come. So, and if you're listening today, thank you. And look forward to having you on future podcasts. Listen to us as well. Jake, close us out.
Yeah, so this is going to be on anywhere you can find podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Follow us on Instagram at Few Good Men Podcast, and just stay up to date. We're not really sure when we're going to come out with the next one, to be honest. Episode 2 could be tomorrow. It could be in 2 months. I think it'll be faster than that, but you never know. We're just going to keep praying about it, keep growing, find some awesome men to bring on. And I got some guys in my mind who I can't wait to share with y'all.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. That's all right.
Thank you.